of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 10. Of course, we know that the book of Hebrews is a book of better things. That's the theme. The writer here is using Old Testament typology to write about the better things that we, as a New Testament believer, have through Christ. That He is a better sacrifice. Here in this scripture, he's going to be talking about Christ being not just a better sacrifice, but a better priest. And so, verse 21 says, "And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Just trying to pray this afternoon and meditate upon the scriptures, seek the will of God for the service. And this phrase at the end, that there's a lot that we could say, a lot that could be preached about. Hebrews is a very deep book, and there's a lot of typology, a lot of things that are somewhat difficult for us as Gentiles to understand, because you must take it in its context, that the writer here, which the majority believe to be the Apostle Paul, I personally believe that it is, seeing the language that he wrote and how that he wrote to these Hebrew believers, but the congregation or the audience that he's writing to are Jews that have been saved. And so they have a very deep understanding of the law and the formalities and the rituals of the Old Testament. And so he's taking what they understand and helping them to come through the inspiration and the working of the Holy Ghost, for them to come to a greater knowledge and understanding of what they have in Christ. For the Jews saw in the Old Testament, they saw the law as everything. It was the law of God. They worked through the law. It was the law that did everything for them in the Old Testament. But here, Paul, the writer, is bringing them an understanding that Christ did what the law could not do. For he makes a statement that the law could make no comer there too perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. And that better hope is based upon a better covenant, which is based upon a better sacrifice, made by a better high priest, which is Christ the Lord. And so in reality, Paul is summing up to the Hebrew believers that everything they have in the New Testament age of grace is all wrapped up and based upon Christ and who He is unto us as the people of God. And even though tonight we are not Hebrews, even though tonight we are not Jews by nature, even though tonight we don't have an understanding of the Old Testament economy like they did, but still yet it is true for us, as it was for them, that everything we have as a child of God, every blessing that we enjoy, every good day that we go through, every benefit that we have in this life is wholly wrapped up in Christ and who He is unto us. You cannot separate any, according of the book of James, you cannot separate any good thing in this life from God. But James said, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, to whom is no variable telling us on neither side of turn it. Now you've got to take the language of the Scripture up to what it says. It does not say every good and perfect gift lumping them into one, but it separates them. The good gifts and the perfect gifts are two different things. The good gifts are the temporal things of the worldly possessions that you and I hold, of the house that we live in, of the car that we drive, of the money in the bank, of the food in the cabinets, of the food that was on the table today. Those are the good gifts, and they come from God just as much as the perfect gifts. The perfect gifts are the spiritual things, of the eternal things. For you see in the Scripture, there'll never be anything deemed perfect that has anything to do with earth. Nothing is perfect that is ever temporal. But everything perfect is always eternal. And it's always tied to spiritual things. And so tonight, the salvation we enjoy is a perfect gift from God. The joy we have is a perfect gift from God. The peace that passeth understanding is a perfect gift from God. And the same as the food on the table is the joy in our hearts tonight. It all comes from God. Everything we have is tied up in Him. If you separate us from God, then you take every good thing away. But there is none good, no, not one. And if there is none of us good, then that means no good thing can come from us. But every good thing we have is a direct result of the relationship that we have with Christ Jesus our Lord. And so Paul is bringing to light this Scripture or this reality that it is all tied up in Him. And so he says, seeing then that we have this great high priest, seeing then that he is the mediator of the better covenant, that he is the go-between between us and God, that he is our access unto the Father. As was read in the Scripture in Sunday school this morning, that it is by him we have received the adoption of sons, therefore and thereby through him, through our salvation by him, we have the ability to cry out, Abba Father. We have the ability to address him as our Father. We have the ability not just to address him, but according to this Scripture, we have the ability to approach him as our Father. Not in fear, as though he's just some. Now we have to understand, and it's not doing any discredit or disrespect to God, but when we go to pray as the child of God, we don't have to go and address God like he's some distant sovereign being out yonder in the universe somewhere. Though he is the sovereign God, though he is the creator and the ruler of everything we see, but that's not how we have to approach it. But we can approach him in an intimate way, in an intimate form, in an intimate fashion, not just as God, not just as the creator, not just as the sovereign, but as our Father. That's how we can come. That's why he said we can come boldly before the throne of grace. That's in Hebrews as well. Because we have access. That's what Paul's saying here. Because we have a high priest over the house of God. He said, let us draw near. Not near the house of God, but near to him. Near to our high priest. With a full assurance of faith. That comes by him. And so we're coming. And we're going to hold fast at the profession of our faith. Why is that? For he that is faithful, that promise, it all hinges on him. The reason we can live in this dark day is because of him. The reason we can still have joy in the midnight hour is because of him. Because you and I, we have trusted in him. The writer said we have fled for refuge and to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. Where is that hope? It is in Christ. He has went before us. The hope we have is an anchor. The writer said, both sure and steadfast. And it enters within the veil where the Christ, the forerunner, hath entered for us. So everything we have is all wrapped up in him. And if we can't get that concept, we'll live a life of defeat. If we think it's based on our deeds or our merits, we'll live in
in defeat. If we think it's based on how good we are, we'll live in defeat. You cannot live good enough and merit the favor of God. But when we come to the realization that everything we have is in Him, good or bad, based on our part, and that all we have is in Him.
That's why it meant so much to the writer to say, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. There is nobody else, there is nowhere else, there is nothing else but Him. And so the writer here, Paul, or whoever the writer may be, is encouraging and trying to admonish these Hebrew believers about what they have in Christ. But then he comes down, and this is really where my heart was stirred this afternoon, and I won't keep you up much longer. I about give all that's on my heart to give, but I want to give this right here that God was stirred in my heart. Then he turns their focus from the church as a whole, from their relationship, just them and Christ, to now their relationship to one another through Christ. The relationship that you and I have with one another is all wrapped up in Him too. The reason we're a family is because we've been born again into the same family by the blood of Christ. And so now Paul says, not just let me have your attention between your relationship and Christ, but now he said, let's talk about our relationship with one another as believers, as children in the family of God. And so he says in verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. And here's what's on my heart. As you see the day approaching. That's what got to working in my heart this afternoon on as you see the day approaching. Right now there is a historical context and application for this scripture. There's a lot of debate. There's a lot of writers who are divided about the historical context of the scripture. Many say that it was in reference to the fact of Jerusalem's coming destruction, which was in the near future. Well, historically speaking, that could have been the reference that Paul was making to the Jewish believers of that day. But regardless of the historical application, there is a practical application to every scripture left and preserved unto us in our generation. We have lived beyond the destruction of Jerusalem, and we're in 2021. What does that mean? The Bible has ceased to be applicable to us? No. It has an application to us in this day. And I think the application is the day of the coming of the Son of Man. The end is near. I think if we can really get it in our mind and settle in our heart just how close we are to the end, we'll do things differently in our personal life and at the house of God. And hear the scriptures talking. Paul is admonishing these believers about what is necessary. It has always been necessary. Can you listen to me just a minute and hear what I have to say? The things the scriptures say about the last days, the things that are necessary, have always been necessary for the people of God. But there's a greater emphasis placed on their necessity in the last days. And there are three things that are on my heart from the Lord about some things that are necessary as we see the day approaching. Now all of us have enough discernment about us to know, if you've read the scriptures any bit and been saved for any length of time, all of us know and understand that we are in the last days. And the day is approaching. So as the day is approaching, what are these things that have always been a necessity, have always been necessary, but seemingly have a greater emphasis for the people of God in the last days? That's you and I. What are these things? Well, the first I want to say is found in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. He says, and that knowing the time,
Well, you and I, through the Scriptures, can know the time and look around and understand. But we can read Paul's address to Timothy about what to see and expect in the last days and know that the Bible reads like the headlines of the newspaper for us today. That everything that Paul addressed to Timothy about what to expect in the last days is happening on a daily basis in our day. And so it's through the Scriptures and the discernment of the Holy Spirit of God that we can know the time. And when we know the time, when we understand that it is the last days, He said that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. And so it's always been necessary for the church to be awake. Now the word awake does not just simply mean not asleep, but the word awake means to be highly aware. It literally means to be on edge, to see what is going on all around us, and not just to see it, let it go in our eye and not take another notice, or let it go in one ear and out the other, but it means to see and to make an application of what the Scriptures have to say about the last days. To be awake. And I say that as we see the day approaching, we need to be awake. We're living in a day where many of the people of God have fell asleep. We're kind of like Eutychus was when he was in that upper chamber when Paul preached till midnight. And the Bible said there's a young man named Eutychus that sat in the window. And when Paul's preaching was long, he fell down into a sleep and he fell out of the window and was taken up dead. Hey, you want to know a deep explanation as to why Eutychus fell out instead of in? The old preacher said it's because there was more out than there was in. And I say in these days, it's a sad statement, but we come to the house of God and we keep one foot outside the door and one foot in the door. Oh, we got our mind on what we're going to do tomorrow or next week or the next. Oh, we're counting down the days to vacation. Oh, we're wondering about the promotion at work tomorrow and all the things of this life. And we have fallen asleep. Oh, we have turned a blind eye to the things of God. And in the last days, as we see this day approaching, knowing the times we're living in, it is now not just time, but the apostle wrote that it is now high time, meaning that it really the time has already passed. We're catching up, we're awake for the fact that it is time to be awake as the people of God. To be aware. It's the same word or similar word that Peter uses when he gives the admonition to the people of God in 1 Peter chapter 5 to be sober and vigilant about our adversary, the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The word sober means to be alert, and the word vigilant means to be awake and aware of our surroundings. That's what the church needs as we see the day approaching. Need to be awake. Then the writer goes on, and he says, and that knowing the time that is now, it is high time, that will wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. There he uses the day, the word day. Paul said, as we see the day approaching, here he says, the day is at hand. So seeing that the day is at hand, let us cast off therefore the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So as we see the day approaching, we need to be awake. As we see the day approaching, we need to have on the armor. We are living in the wicked days of the end. I thought about as we studied for several weeks in the Sunday school hour about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus to take the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand when in the evil day. I think that's a is a mention. I think it's an allusion to this last day's time, of the evil day, the days at hand, the days approaching. And in this last day, in this evil day, when Paul told Timothy that evil men and seducers in the last days would wax worse and worse, there's a greater need. It's always been necessary, but there's a greater necessity for the people of God to have the armor of God to stand against the wiles of the devil in these last days. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities, the Bible said, and against spiritual wickedness in high places, and the powers of darkness. We're wrestling against things that are unseen, but they are surely at work. I thought about what John said most so much. I don't have time to get into all of it. Don't feel led to get into all of it tonight. But there's so much confusion about everything that's going on. And people that I thought used to know the Bible, they act like they don't know anything about the Bible. There's so much confusion about the last days. There's so much confusion about the shot that's out there and the Antichrist and the mark of the beast and all them things. But I'm telling you, John said, we know the Antichrist shall come. And even in John's day, he said, and there are now many antichrists, and the spirit of antichrist is at work. And if it was at work in John's day, how much more do you think it's at work in the last days? We need the armor of God. But then, and I'll be done, and hope maybe you got something out of it tonight. But here in our text, the Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we need to be awake. We need the armor. And according to the text I read into your hearing tonight, we need the assembly. We need to come together. You say, preacher, I thought he was saying so much more of the exhortation. That is right in the language, but how can we exhort one another if we do not assemble together with one another? In other words, Paul said, in these last days, we're going to need the encouragement, that is the exhorting, that is the lifting up, that is the cheering of the spirits of the people of God. And he said, the way we're going to get that is by assembling ourselves together. We need the assembly. I understand that things are happening. We're living in unprecedented times as far as calls to be made. And I understand that we have to make precautions and we have to adjust at times and all that. But I'm going to tell you, we need the church. We need to assemble together. My goal, by the help and the grace of God, and He'll give me enough common sense, I know, but it's to keep the church going in the same direction, to assemble as much as normal as we can. In these days, we cannot function correctly without it. We cannot. Online church is not the same. A parking lot church is not the same. I'm not knocking anybody or throwing any stones, and I understand that sometimes things have to be. But I'm telling you, there is nothing like the assembling together of the people of God to lift of the spirits and encourage the hearts of the people of God in these last days. People today, I'm talking about people who claim to be born again. People today miss church and act like it don't bother them. They find any excuse not to go to church. If half the people, I'm talking about the church as a whole, if half the people of our day missed as much work as they missed church, they'd fire them on the spot tomorrow. And work is not nearly as important as the house of God. I understand sometimes we have to work. I understand sometimes it takes us away. But there's a big difference between the necessity of it and volunteering. God help us in this day. A few more dollars don't make that much difference. When it comes to the line of spiritual things, I understand sometimes we need time apart and we need a vacation, but a vacation cannot give you what the assembling together with the people of God can. I'm telling you, we need the assembly in these last days.
It's kind of like, and I'm not being mean, and I'm not preaching mean spirit, I'm preaching from my heart exactly what the Lord's telling me to preach. But it's kind of like, I'm the principal of a school, and at the end of some 9 weeks, I've heard parents say that they don't understand why their child's not passing. They don't understand why their grades are slipping. And the first thing I do is turn to their attendance chart and show them that their child's missed about 2 days a week for the last 3 weeks. And there's no way that you can get it without being there. And it's much the same at the house of God. We wonder why the people of God are so discouraged. We wonder why they're so depressed. We wonder why they can't get themselves out of bed in the morning. And when they've missed the house of God, and they've missed the assembling together, and they've missed the exhortation of the people of God, you cannot get anywhere else in the world where you can get in the assembly of the people of God. This is where the exhortation takes place. This is where encouragement takes place. And not just that, but this is where instruction takes place. Those are the two things God put on my heart about the need of the assembly. I need the encouragement. I need the exhortation. I need my spirits lifted every now and again. But not just that, I need the instruction of the Word of God. And this is where we get it.
You can go back to that same illustration. And when you're not in school, and you don't cover the content, and you're not present, there's no way to pass the test. And it works the same in our spiritual life. If you're not present, and you don't receive the instruction of the Word of God, when the tests and trials come, it makes it much more difficult to pass the test. It makes it much more difficult to... I understand that the Spirit of God is with us. I understand we have a very present help in trouble, but many times it's through the instruction of the Word of God that we learn how to deal with the trouble that come in our path.
And it's hard to know how to deal with the trouble when we don't have the instruction of the assembly of the people of God. As we see the day approaching, and I preach my heart tonight and give you what I thought the Lord put on my heart to give you. And I preached longer than I meant to. I didn't think we'd be together very long tonight at all. But Paul said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Paul acknowledged the fact that even in his day, there were some that forsook the assembling together of the people of God. And we'll have to acknowledge in our day that there are still some, and probably many more than there was in Paul's day, that are forsaking the assembling of themselves together. But Paul said, don't do it. Don't get caught up in it. Don't follow the trend. But he said, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, what Paul said, if I'm reading the Scripture right, and I said, God spoke to my heart this afternoon. He said, these things have always been necessary, but there's a greater emphasis in the last days. And what Paul is saying is we don't need less church in the last days. If anything, we need more church than we've been having in these last days. And not just organized religion. Not just coming together to say we went to the house of God. But we need more of the assembling and the encouragement and the instruction of coming together with the people of God in these last days as we see the day approaching. Father, I thank You, Lord, tonight for this privilege and honor to have been able to be in Your house with Your people. I thank You, Lord, for each one.